You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Steve McCoy from 360 Church in Sarasota, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to press beyond ordinary.
Pastor Steve approached me. He asked me, one, Mitch, would you want to deliver a sermon? And I was eagerly, excitedly said yes, as he mentioned several times. And when he had asked me, we were sitting down, what would you want to share? What would be on your heart? What is a word you want to provide? And I thought through my relationship with the Lord, through the ways that he's worked in my life, one of the most miraculous, one of the most amazing things that he had done is how he changed my heart when it came to giving. When it came to generosity, and as I'll share my story, for me and when I've talked to friends who knew me before coming into a relationship with God and Christ and after, they would have thought the generosity was outright impossible. It was near miraculous, and it was. So I want to share this with you to walk through, because giving, tithing, is one of the most detrimental aspects that people struggle with. It's one of the biggest obstacles Christians have today in leading a full life in Christ. Only 2.5% of Christians in America are giving the full tithe, which means the vast majority aren't. And as we walk through what can be a challenging message, and I look at it as a freeing message, I think it's critical to distinguish and delineate between two sometimes confused concepts that often make something like tithing, something like giving, which should be freeing, extremely challenging. Those concepts are conviction and shame or condemnation. See, a lot of times we experience shame when there's something that we're maybe not doing the way we think we should, or there's a rule we should be following and we're not. And that shame ultimately builds, and it can lead to more guilt. And it can lead to hiding, insecurity, feeling like you're not valid, you're not valued, you're not enough. And that shame begins to pull you and pull you and pull you away from who your potential is, who he designed you to be, but ultimately it pulls you from God. And so if shame is something that pulls you from God, it cannot be from God, it is only lies from the enemy. Amen. Conviction, uncomfortable, ultimately leads to repentance. It leads to freedom. It brings you closer to Christ, closer to God, and comes with joy, fulfillment, abundance. And so as we walk through this topic today, this word, I pray that you identify, if you experience feelings of shame, of guilt, anything of that nature, those are lies. That is not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is to walk through together a gift that was laid out in Scripture that I've experienced, that I pray that we can walk through together. Does that sound good?
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's my first time on stage, so I think it's important to share a little bit about my background, who I am, where I'm from. I didn't grow up going to church. I grew up in a Jewish immigrant home, actually. If you've heard the term Christmas and Easter only Christians, we were Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Jews. You probably wouldn't have heard of it. It's a lot harder to pronounce. And so God wasn't necessarily talked about a lot at my home. We were Jewish very much so culturally, not as much practicing. And part of that was tying a little bit to the immigrant roots. So my parents, they met here, but I'm the first person in my family that's actually born in America. They'd moved from what was then Soviet Russia, now it was Ukraine, and my mom's from Belarus. And they moved here, and they moved with very little means. I mean, they came to this country. It was, you hear about people starting off in a tough spot. They started off really, it was less than nothing. I mean, almost no money, no understanding the language, no understanding of how society works. I mean, we take for granted sometimes the ability to go up to a grocery store and now understand how things work, where I can ask for groceries, I can ask for help down the aisle. My family was a little different. In Russia, you typically don't have too many words to explain a situation. So where you'd go up to a grocery store, hello, can you please help me? I'm trying to find tomatoes. Culturally, you would walk up to a person and say, tomatoes where? a little challenging to adapt to that. And so I grew up in an environment where work ethic was instilled tremendously. They had done everything that they could to come from literally less than nothing and build something for themselves, where family was prioritized. I still remember when I was young, I thought there was a burglar in my home because at 4 a.m, my dad was shuffling around in the kitchen, getting up early to go work his job to keep the business afloat, then come back and do it all over again every single morning. Some stories still resonate. Weeks ago, I was meal prepping. I bought a couple chickens, and I was telling my mom because I was so proud that I was meal prepping and cooking. And she said, I remember when we had one chicken that we needed to make last for 4 people for an entire week.
Wow.
And Costco chicken. That's it. Rotisserie. It's one dinner.
Sorry.
That's great. And so I had, and so that, those stories resonated. And it, but what I realized was growing up, I was very fortunate because through that work ethic that was instilled, I didn't have to worry about where the next meal was coming from. I had more than enough. But what was going on mentally is what occurred was I started to constantly think about money. I was always worried I didn't have enough. I was worried that what would happen if I took this job or that. I was worried about if I gave money, what if I could use it elsewhere? And very quickly that began to become quite a toxic thought process that seeped into every aspect of my life. Because growing up where there wasn't enough, the fear of not having enough, even though everything that was provided, I still found myself constantly counting, constantly struggling, constantly worrying. And through that process, that was ingrained in me, I ultimately started to seek the Lord. And now my mentality around money didn't have a lot to do with my relationship with God in the beginning. I started to notice Christians, I started to get pulled in, and I saw those that were living in fullness, living out of the Holy Spirit, living out of a relationship with God. And I saw the meaning, the significance behind their life, and that was magnetizing. And there were things that I began to get drawn to, and I began to pray. I began to seek God, and He began to continue to, He put people in front of me. There was questions that started to come to mind, and answers started to come. And that ultimately led me to giving my life up to the Lord, exchanging my old one for His new one. And as I did, there was certain concepts, oh man, did I just resonate with. I love them. The fact that God loves me, He knows me specifically, intentionally, and I have a Heavenly Father that cares for me. Awesome. Yeah. There's nothing that I can do to earn salvation. That's grace. Man, I love it because I wasn't that great, still not. Need God to help make that happen for me. Then there were some things that I was, okay, a little perplexed about. It's going to take some more time. To live as Christ and to die as gain. That's going to take a little bit more time. Holy Spirit, coming inside you. Now you have and spiritual giftings. All right. Going to take some time. And then we get to tithing. Uh-huh. 10% what? And I think it's ironic because I grew up in a Jewish home. Jewish principle, Old Testament principle that we started, and I only discovered about tithing after building a relationship with Jesus. So that was a little odd. Now, what happened was, is that I'd given my life to Christ, but I still had resistance in this area. I had years and years of programming. It wasn't just a light switch that happened. Great, now I'm fully generous. And so when I found this concept that I was struggling with, let's say. So, okay, what am I going to do about it? Well, I'm going to go to the Word of God. Except, I kind of did it to see if there was a loophole. I mean, how many times do we wrestle with something? So, well, maybe if I read it a third time, a sixth time, and there's a, it's pretty consistent throughout. And so when I began to look at what was in the Word, of God, I saw this theme of giving from God's people that I want to walk through with you all and that what I found. And so the first place that we see giving, and specifically the tithe mentioned, is in Genesis. So Abram, who is later known as Abraham, had went with 318 men and himself went to go rescue his nephew Lot that was taken. And in a typical God-glorifying fashion, it was a very small group of people that won against a massive army, four-group army. And he'd ultimately rescued Lot, rescued the positions, and Melchizedek comes, the priest and the king at the time, and this is what he said. You'll see it on the screen. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed by Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, in praise to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And as a result of that, then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. We see actually even before that, and this is all before the Mosaic Law. This is before Moses came with the commandments, with the law to say, here's the tithe. And a tithe is Hebrew for the word a tenth, 10%. We see even before that with Cain and Abel, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offer, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Now, we know that Abel's giving was more fondly looked at by God, but it's amazing that even before there was a commandment, even before there was clear reading that we see, giving was occurring, and a tithe specifically was happening. Later on, Jacob, when he's settling in Bethel, also gives a tithe and commits a tithe of everything he'll receive. And then we look into what is a little bit more commonly looked at, the Mosaic Law. In the Law of Moses, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord, in Leviticus. And in 2 Chronicles, as soon as the Lord went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, olive oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. See, back then, agriculture was the form of currency. So when they're looking at what they're tithing, that was essentially money to them back then. And it wasn't a tithe of just the oil. It wasn't a tithe of just the crop. It was a tithe of everything. And we see in the Old Testament, it is very clear about giving. It's very clear that 10%. And there's some amazing things you can look at. There's actually, there's eight different ways in Judaism that you look at. There's eight different types of giving. And so it's riddled throughout the culture, throughout the religion. But then Jesus came in completion of the law and building upon it and finalizing it. And we no longer have the mandates, the regulations, because with Jesus coming, religion was put down and relationship was created. But what does that mean for giving? What does that mean for tithing? Tithing is only mentioned four times in the New Testament. So as we look at in Matthew, where Jesus is, let's say, calling out the Pharisees, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Ouch. "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." See, Jesus is coming. There's more important parts. Don't get caught up if you're giving, not giving. There's more important parts to why he's here, what he's calling you to. But that doesn't mean to neglect the former. Giving is still a critical component. And actually, we see giving in much greater generosity than just the 10%. See, if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't come and say, "Hey, I'm going to make this easier for you all." Most things he comes and he calls us to a higher standard. Cheek for a cheek. No, turn your cheek. If you get slapped one way, get slapped another way. I'm not saying his words as eloquently. When it comes to loving, when it comes to loving your enemies, when it comes to giving, when it comes to working, all of these, we were raised to a higher standard. And when we see generosity out of joy in the New Testament, it is not 10%. Sometimes it's 50%. Sometimes it's 100%. You look in Corinthians. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. What were they experiencing? That level of faith to give everything and plead to even give more. That level of a strength and relationship with the Lord, that commitment, that freedom. And so I looked at this, and even story with Zacchaeus giving 50% and paying back those that he owed four times over, just story after story in the New Testament, it became apparent to me that the tithe was the baseline. But still, giving and giving back is a component that we see through consistently through all Scripture. And so here I was, all right, that is pretty evident. And I'm still not tithing. I'm still not giving. Just reading this, for me, it didn't change the years and years of struggling with that mentality, struggling with scarcity, struggling with worry and fear and anxiety around money. But what did change was where before I had no desire, now I did have a desire to give. That did switch. That was new. And it was out of that desire, but that desire led to more frustration. It led to lies of shame and guilt because I would look at my budget and I tried to see how I could give, or I could give with what's left, and it never worked. I felt bad every time I could, and I tried, and I could not, on my own will, figure out how to do this. So not by my strength, I said, okay, well, let's try by His strength. And I began to pray. And I began to pray, and it ultimately led me at a table for two. I still remember this distinctly, where I was asking a close mentor of mine, a friend, a coach, and I'd asked him about tithing, and I wanted to know what was his story and his belief around it. And what he said when it came to tithing was that he was in some trials throughout his life. Most distinctly, he remembered where he was successful in businesses, and he lost pretty much all of his businesses due to health challenges and diabetes. And he found himself at 35 years old, with his wife and two children, needing to move out of their home, figure out a place to stay, with literally all that they had in finances he could hold up in his hand in a few dollar bills. Now, even if there ain't $10,000 bills that I'm aware of, so it wasn't a lot. And he was in such floor-breaking, having to reset situation. So much worry about how he's going to provide. He pretty much started doing everything and anything, getting a job, flipping storage sheds, detailing whatever he could. And he remembered going up, they found a place that they could live, and he went to a landlord and for rent. And this was a time for them that it was gas or groceries. It was sometimes they literally had to choose, are we filling up the car tank or are we getting a full week's worth of groceries? And he remembered going to this landlord and saying, I have no credit to show you that I could live here. I have no way to prove to you that I will pay at the end of the month. But believe me, I will do whatever it takes. I will make rent due. And he still to this day has no clue why he said yes, but that man said yes. And they were able to stay in that home But that did not resolve their financial struggles. And ultimately, it came to a spot and a point where him and his wife are sitting at the table, they're looking at the bills, they're looking at what's in their bank account, and his wife looks at him and says, If we pay, if we tithe right now, by the end of the week, we will not have money to make rent. What do you want to do? The man that he gave his word to, committed to, said, I will do anything, and they're faced. Am I giving back 10% or am I going to pay rent? And he looked at his wife and he said, give the tithe. Give the tithe. I'm not putting this on my strength to figure this out. I'm going to lean on God to figure this out financially. Give the tithe. He says he will provide. Give back. Tuesday happens, we're not making rent. Wednesday happens, we're not making rent. Friday's when rent's due. Thursday happens, a check comes in the mail. Somebody who had owed money, a friend, a long time ago, just happened, check appeared. Again and again and again, he tested the tithe, he gave the tithe, and his family was provided for. He gave back the Lord freely, joyfully, not expecting anything in return, and the Lord provided. Not a show of hands, but how many of you have seen miraculous story in your lives? You don't have to raise your hands. Of God miraculously showing up, working in the impossible.
Amen.
Pastor Steve mentioned sermons ago, where are you seeing God working in the impossible? Where are you leaning on him in faith without your own wisdom to see him show up and working? And time and time and time again, he continued to tithe, and he will go as far to proclaim that if whoever he advises to tithe, he says, you can put all my credibility on it, all my reputation on it, all the responsibility on it. Because if tithing is giving back to the Lord doesn't work out and you're doing it the way that the scripture says to do it, this ain't a me problem. And I'm going to go to God afterwards to figure out what happened. Full trust. And it was that conversation. It was that, just somebody brand new in my faith, struggling with it, hearing that story changed my mindset, and I began to tithe. See, it's not just what's in the word here, but it's in the word connected to our personal stories, our testimonies of God working miracles in our lives. The Bible references money 2,000 times, 500 times. It's the single priority focus of the scripture verse. But how many of us are having these conversations at a table for two? How many of us are talking about money at the dinner table, asking young disciples, seasoned people have been following the Lord? Tell me about your trust and faith when it comes to your finances. Let me share my story with you, not to guilt, not to shame, not to condemn, but so that you may experience the gift that God has given us and the generosity we may experience. And so I began to tithe, but again, with my missteps and failures, I was tithing my money. I was tithing in hopes to gain and to return, not very accurate or the way to do so. And so I began tithing my money, and it's written here, and we'll see in Psalms where it's not ours, it's his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the water. All of this is his. So how could it be mine? An analogy that I use that really helped put it in perspective for me is if I were to take a seed, an apple seed, and I were to plant it in the ground in soil in my backyard, I'd cover it with soil, and then every single morning I'd wake up and I'd water this. And I'd water it every morning, morning after morning. And for 7, maybe 10 years, that's what Google said, apparently. I mean, I don't know if this is worth investment at this point, but for 10 years I watered this apple tree and I didn't go to the grocery store for whatever reason. And I kept watering it, and it finally grew. And after years of hard work, after years of dedication, I get these apples, and I have 10 apples. Kind of know where this is going. I have 10 apples. It is so easy for me to say, well, I worked so hard for these apples, they're mine. Why should I give one of my apples away? But if we look back and say, okay, well, if that wasn't an apple seed, what if you put a piece of plastic in the ground and water it for 10 years? Well, that's silly. Why would you do that? That's not going to grow. Well, what wired and engineered the apple to grow, the apple seed to grow into a tree that would bear fruit? God's perfect design. What provided the soil? What engineered the seed to need sunlight, rain, and soil, and it will grow into a tree and bear an apple? And did I actually really need to be involved? Because there's a lot of wild apple trees that don't require me getting up every morning to water them, and they're bearing fruit. Now, I was privileged to be a part of it because I get the apple tree in my backyard, so there's some extra blessing there. I get to pick the fruit when it's convenient to me after the 10 years. But ultimately, the reason that grew had nothing to do with me. It was the framework that God had designed and orchestrated that I was operating within. And I didn't even need to be in that framework for it to work and bear fruit. When we work, when we provide, when we work so diligently, we're operating in the framework that was given to us. The gifts that we've been given were designed by God for us. The jobs provided from Him. Everything we're operating within His framework. But from understanding that, that freed up the challenge of giving from a joyful perspective, because how could I give joyfully of just my stuff? But if I'm giving from what has been provided to me beyond measure, that is a lot easier to joyfully and freely say, thanks for the 10 apples, here's one back. I couldn't have had these 10 apples in the first place. It said this way in 2 Corinthians, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. If you walk out of here and say, I don't want to give, I'm not about it, I don't like it, that is okay. Don't. Because God wants it free. God wants it cheerful. And so it took time for me, because when I started giving, I was giving my money for the hope of getting more money in return. I was missing the core purpose of this. It wasn't to give my money. It was to understand from maturity, from growth, His framework. And out of gratitude to be able to give back, to be a part of it, to be privileged to operate in it. And so through that time, through giving because of that conversation, through giving because of prayer, that began to unfold, and I began to see true blessing that came into my life. Where I kept leaning on my own strength with money and was riddled with concerns, through joyfully and generously giving back, I start to see greed fall apart. I started to see God break those old mental behaviors, those mindsets, which should have been outright near impossible from my upbringing, from what I struggled with, and they began to melt away. I began to see my heart and my mind change. My decisions around money were not as heavy laden and weighted, because and it helped even more so from an ethical standpoint. Not right or wrong, but maybe this isn't the best decision. Maybe I should stay late and work to make this sale, or stay late to work on this client project, as opposed to coming home and spending dinner with my wife. Well, I need to make the money. My prioritization, knowing it's His and I'm giving back, helped other aspects of my life fall into line. My faith grew, my maturity grew, because I began to see the way God was working, because there were times that, again, it didn't make sense, and continuing to give back, I didn't see where it would come back. And yet that was the opportunity to see so much blessing and so much freedom and watching God work in miraculous ways. When I heard that message, my prayer from Pastor Steve sermons ago about seeing God work in the impossible, my prayer was, God, I want to see that. I want to experience that. God wants all of you to see it, to experience it. But it's not just let me sit back and have something happen. It requires an inkling of faith, an inkling of trust, to ask, to seek something a little bit from us, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, if you will, and then the blessing comes immeasurably. And we can begin to see that miraculous working. I heard the last story I want to share with you all is with these ties was a family that had was single income, that had 4 children, And they were in dire straits. It was tough. Business was hard. And they were faithfully giving. They were generous. They were loving. They were growing their maturity in the relationship with God. And but through that, they were still having financial difficulty. And in that financial difficulty that they were experiencing, they kind of from the way of fasting and putting oil on your face and not letting others see, they were still joyful. They were still giving. They were still happy, fulfilled, chasing after God. But their financial struggles were not really known. And they were going to church, and out of nowhere, this elderly lady walks up to them. They had never spoken in the past, never talked, and she hands them this exact red envelope years ago, hands it to them, says, "God bless you," and walks away. And they opened this envelope, and they found $150, exactly what they needed for that week. Shocked, they didn't know what happened, grateful, praised God, and they kept giving, and they kept living, but still financial hardship. $150 ain't gonna change the world, but it gave them what they needed. And then they appeared again. She appeared again and walked up randomly. "God bless you," another red envelope. $500, because that's what they needed at the time. They didn't ask, they didn't know. One of the most monumental stories that I've ever heard was when this elderly lady approached them, and this red envelope contained $5,000. The reason was that he was led and called to go on a mission trip. And she had gotten wind of it and did not want their family to be put at any financial burden from him being gone, from him traveling. So that he could work in the mission field, she blessed him with a check in that red envelope for $5,000. Praise God. We look at Malachi 3:10. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." There is only one place in the entire Bible where God says, "Test me." When it comes to the tithe, when it comes to giving, and when he says he will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It is so certain that it's the one-up level on anything here that says, "Test me." Does God like to fail test? No. Has he ever failed a test? No. You can give him a test whenever you want. Well, here you go. Doug Pohl, a good friend and mentor of mine, gave me this analogy. He said, "You need to give him a symbol, like something that you can visually see." I was like, "Thank you, Doug. All right." So this is it. We'll see if my hand's gonna go through it. All right, we did it. Now we're skipping it. So here's me holding on to the money, and I can't let go, and nothing can happen. As soon as I decide to let go, as soon as I decide to let go, God can begin to put the blessing in. Yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church family. Lord, thank you for the privilege to walk through this message together. Lord, there's many of us that want to be generous, Lord. Lord, we want to see you working in miraculous ways in our lives. We've been trusting. We've trusted you with our lives. We've trusted you with our eternity. But some of us are still holding on and not trusting you with our finances. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit works in this room today, that those that are experiencing conviction, they act upon this gift that you've given. They don't look at how this could work, but they pray, and in faith, they test you, God. I pray that they test you. I plead that they test you to see the workings, the healing that you can create in their lives. Lord, you give us so much freedom. You take away our burdens, God. We praise you. Gratitude for that. And Lord, maybe there's some in this room. Maybe there's some that it's not just about the finances. Lord, maybe there's those here that feel heavy and anxious. They've been carrying their lives. They've been carrying it on their own. They feel helpless. They've been seeking, feeling like there's more, God. Maybe in this moment, Lord, they experience you reaching out, you calling them, not just from giving generously, but for giving life. And if that's you, and you acknowledge in this moment, not a raise of hand, not needed to be verbalized, but just you in conversation with God, you acknowledge in this moment, I'm tired. I'm tired of carrying it on my own. I'm broken. And I need you. I need a savior. I need fullness, relationship, love, grace in my life. And if you're looking for that savior, Christ is the answer. Christ alone, no one else, nothing else. Jesus. And if that's you today, looking for more, looking for that healing because you're broken, trusting in a savior, trusting in Jesus alone. If that's your conversation with God today, pray and ask for God to breathe new life in you, to put down your old ways, to stop leaning on just your own strength, but to give it to Christ and to lean on His and experience the change of Him breathing new life in you. Is that your prayer this morning? Lord, thank you. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for your word. You are a generous God, a loving, giving God. And God, as we walk out here today, I pray that you continue to inspire us and help us be bold in sharing our faith and our trust in you with Jesus, our trust in you with our finances, our trust in you, God, with those around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. And special thanks for those of you who give generously to make this ministry possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can also subscribe or share it with your friends. For more information about 360 Church, visit us at the360church.com.